We're talking about honoring our mothers today, and we want to talk about a particular characteristic of mothers that is an important thing that mothers need to have, and not just mothers. It's important for all of us. I want us to notice as we begin from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, the story of Sarah finding out that she is going to have a baby. And as the story goes, Sarah was about 89 years old. Abraham was about 99 years old. He rocked the cradle a little bit. He was about 10 years older than her. But she was told or overheard the Lord telling Abraham that they were going to have a child, and she laughed. She just thought that was funny that someone her age could have a baby. And I know most of you are not approaching 90 yet, but if you were, I'm sure you would laugh too if the doctor or someone told you you were having a baby. And she thought that was quite funny. Well, of course, the Lord keeps His word. They did have the baby, and they named the baby Giggles. And that's a little bit of paraphrase. That's actually the word Isaac. The name Isaac actually means laughter. They named that baby Giggles. It was a good name for a baby boy. And she said when she named that boy Isaac, she says, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear about it will laugh with me." Notice they weren't going to laugh at her. They would laugh with her. And of course, certainly, everyone that's heard that story has, even if they didn't laugh out loud, it certainly brings a smile to your heart to think, 90-year-old woman having a baby, that's quite something. It's amazing what God can do. But as we think about that story, we want to realize that laughter is a good thing. Throughout the Bible, laughter is seen as a good thing, although there's cruel mocking laughter, I suppose, that would not be. But in Ecclesiastes 3:4, the Bible says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. In Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Smiles and laughter show up on the face when our heart is merry. In chapter 15 and verse 15, it says, "He who is of a merry heart has a continual feast." You ever known someone who's like that? They can be happy in the most dire of circumstances. That's quite a blessing to be around that kind of a person. And then in Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart does good like a medicine." Sometimes they say laughter is the best medicine. And so as we think about that, I want us to think about motherhood today. And we want to talk a little bit about the stages of motherhood. Some of you now, if you've not had children, you know folks who have. If you're not a mother, maybe you're a father or a son, and you know, you'll recognize some of these things. Now, if you are a mother, but you've only had one or two, and you haven't had a third, just beware of the things that we read here. Now, if I will say that whoever wrote this thing about the stages of motherhood up never imagined that any woman would be brave enough to have more than three. So I can't imagine what they would say about the ones after the third. But they say, regarding your clothes, the mother's clothes. The first baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as your doctor confirms your pregnancy. The second one, you wear your regular clothes as long as possible. And the third one, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. And what about the baby's name? Well, with the first baby, you dig through every baby name book. You try to find the right pronunciation, one that sounds right together, a first and middle name, and what does it mean, and all these kinds of things you're concerned about. You want to get just the right name. The second baby, you say, well, somebody's got to name their kid after Great Aunt Mavis, right? Might as well be me. Now, if you're Great Aunt Mavis, I didn't write this, so don't pick on me about it. And then by the third one, you just open up the baby name book and close your eyes and point at one, and wherever your finger lands, that's what that kid gets. Right? And what about preparing for the birth? The first time around, you practice all your breathing religiously. You go to all the classes and all the, you know, got to get ready for this birth. The second one, you don't really practice because you remember the last time the breathing didn't really help. And by the third one, you ask for an epidural at your 8th month. We'll just get that out of the way ahead of time. And what about the baby's clothing? Oh, the layette. I didn't even know that was a word. The layette. That's a French word, I guess, for baby's clothes. So you press with the first one, you press your newborn's clothes, you color coordinate them, you fold them neatly, and put them in baby's little chest of drawers, the little bureau there. The second baby, you check to make sure the clothes are clean, you throw out the ones that have the worst stains on them. And by the third one, you say, well, boys can wear pink, right? That's okay. What about your worries? But with the first baby, at the first whimper or frown, you run in to pick that baby up. We got to check on the baby. By the second one, you pick the baby up when the whales threaten to wake up the firstborn. And by the third baby, you teach that three-year-old how to rewind that mechanical swing and keep it going. Right? Teach that three-year-old how to put the pacifier back in the baby's mouth. You do that. What about activities? Well, with the first one, you take your baby to everything. You got this baby gymnastics, and there's baby swing, and baby story hour, and all the little things, baby swim, you know, you name it. You take the baby there. With the second one, you pick one of those. Maybe baby gymnastics. We'll do that one. By the third one, well, you take your baby to the supermarket and the dry cleaners and wherever else you have to go, and they just get to go there with you. What about when you decide to go out? The first time you leave your little baby with the sitter, you call home 5 to 10 times, checking to make sure everything's okay. With the second baby, well, you just walk out the door and, oh, here's the phone number. Don't call us if you need us. By the time you get to the third baby, you give them the wrong phone number, right? Call us if you need us, but you give them somebody else's phone number. Oh, you give them that number and you say, only if you see blood. Don't call unless it's really bad. And at home, well, the first baby, you spend a good bit of time just gazing at the baby. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, look at the baby. Just sit there and stare at it. And you can't understand why everybody else doesn't want to just sit there and stare at the baby. They don't want to like you do. With the second one, you spend a bit of every day watching, making sure that the older child isn't poking or hitting or hurting the baby in some way. And by the third one, you spend some time every day just hiding from all the children and hoping that they won't find you. Well, certainly things change a little as we move along with different numbers of children. And that may be a bit of exaggeration. Maybe for some, not so much. You know, the Bible says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and praise her at the city gates. Her works will praise her at the city gates. It's interesting, then, that it goes on to say, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She will laugh at the days to come. Now this may not be quite the kind of laughter that we're talking about exactly, but the idea that she is so well prepared, she can just laugh at whatever the future holds. She will laugh. Yes, she will definitely laugh. You remember Sarah's laugh? It wasn't probably quite the kind of laugh that we think about. She wasn't laughing. Well, maybe to her it did seem like a bit of a joke that she would have a baby. But when she heard about that, she certainly thought it was something worth laughing about. But when Isaac, whose name does mean laughter, was born, she then laughed even more. And this time, without shame. Remember the first time when the Lord said, you laughed, and she said, oh, I didn't laugh. But after Isaac was born, she said, yes, I'm laughing. And everybody that hears about it is going to laugh with me. And so we need to remember Sarah when we think about laughter. Yes, sometimes mothers laugh. After all, on some days, what else can you do? If you don't laugh, you'll cry. And it's better to laugh than it is to cry on some of those days. She laughs at the birth of a child, the joy that that brings. She laughs even more at the birth of a grandchild, probably because she knows of the work that she won't have to do as much of with that one, perhaps. She laughs at the familiar smell of baby powder and the softness of her baby's cheeks, the warmth of a precious little bald head. Although some of those babies come out with quite a bit of hair, don't they? They're born with hair, and they don't have that little bald head. But it's precious nonetheless. She laughs at all of the little things, the tender moments of discovery and play as the baby learns about life and wonder and love. She laughs at her child's thrill when learning new things and conquering new challenges. And even if it means lots of attention to an insecure little heart and a few skinned up knees. Because deep down, she knows that child is not hers, but is only on loan from the Lord for a little while. And so she remembers that and treats that child as belonging to God instead of to her. And that's the kind of mothers that we want to encourage mothers to be. Even when she's not sure what she should do, even what exactly is wrong with that child. You know, it's tough sometimes with children. You don't know what's wrong with them. Even if she has these struggles, she'll still laugh just to help that child not be afraid, to help the child be comforted in those circumstances. She laughs through the busyness of daily life. Even the only moments that she may be able to steal away to herself are when she's busy running errands, but at least she's on her own for a few moments, and still she can laugh. She laughs even when it's more of a wrestling match of wills, as that child gets a little older and starts to stand up for themselves and has a mind of their own and a strong will, as some children do, and she knows that the stakes are too high to give up on that child, especially when that child could get the best of her nearly every time they spar. But she never gives up. Even when that child gets grown, she's still the mom and won't give up. She laughs because sometimes that's all she knows to do. Like when she has to be tough and hard-hearted enough to outlast that latest tantrum, stubborn enough to enforce that discipline that is unpleasant for her as it is for the child. You know, there's a lot about being a mother that's not always easy. And these are some of those things. When that child looks at her in an ugly way, says, "I hate you," is rebellious, and even says and does cruel things, still, she loves that child. Even that thing that has become so much different from that precious little bundle of joy that she first brought home. But still, through the tears sometimes, she laughs at the memories of the good times. This child who has suddenly found all sorts of things are wrong with her faith and her values and her rules. It doesn't matter if that child is young or old. She'll still laugh as she tells others about the good things that child has done. Yes, mothers of faith laugh. They laugh because that's what they've learned, that God keeps His promises and He gives them grace. After all, they really do His most important work. They show His children that He loves them. There's something about a mother that helps us shape our view of what we expect of God. You know, God is not a mother, He's a father, but still there are many things about Him that remind us of mothers. There are things about His love and His tenderness and His mercy that He built into women to be mothers, to be loving and tender and kind and merciful to those children, because He knew they needed it. There are a lot of hard times that children will face in life. Some of the hardest mother will be there for. Perhaps one of the hardest for every child is that day when mother isn't there anymore. But if she was a mother of faith, she'll be laughing from heaven's shores instead of having to suffer through this life. You know, mothers are often looked on in different ways by different people. Different ones of us. You know, not everybody's mother was the same. Not everybody's mother was everything they ought to be. In fact, none of our mothers were perfect. Some might say, well, my mother was better than your mother. You know, usually that was the dad thing, though. My dad could beat up your dad. But mothers even. We say, well, I like your mom better than my mom. I like my mom better than your mom. It's back and forth. But the fact of the matter is, whether our mom had faults that we didn't care for or not, we should love her and respect her and give her honor, as Ephesians 6, 1-3 teaches us. That's an interesting passage. It's quoted, of course, from the Old Testament, from the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. And Paul tells the Ephesians, that was the first commandment that came with a promise. The promise was that your days may be long in the land. Now sometimes we misinterpret that. We think that means, if I honor my father and mother, I'll have a long life. That's not what it meant. He was telling the children of Israel, as a nation, if you are a nation that honors motherhood and fatherhood, if you honor your parents as a nation, then as a nation you'll get to dwell in the land of Canaan for a long time. Because honoring father and mother was what would lead them to honor and respect God and obey Him. And if they failed to honor their father and mother, then they were going to fail in their honor and respect and obedience to God. And they would then be kicked out of the land. Well, we know what happened, don't we? That nation failed to continue to teach honor of father and mother. And because of that, they wound up going against God and rebelling against Him. And they wound up being taken away into captivity eventually. Now, the Bible tells us that righteousness exalts a nation. Our nation needs to understand that as well. If we want to continue to enjoy this wonderful land that we have, we want to, as a nation, dwell a long time in this land. And realize, we've been a country now for a couple hundred years, 225 or so, not a lot when you look at the grand scheme of things. That's, about the amount of time that Israel lasted before they were taken into captivity. One of their failures was that failure to honor father and mother. And we today, if we don't teach this concept of honoring father and mother, and it does seem like, doesn't it, that our society is slipping further and further away from honoring fatherhood and motherhood. Even to the point now, in some places you can't even say father and mother. That's sexist, or that's somehow backwards, and that's wrong. That's bigoted to say father and mother, even. We're losing our way. If we want to dwell long in this land, we've got to regain that honor and respect for father and mother. Give the mothers a happy Mother's Day present today, and we'll get out early. Dear Mom, thanks. Thanks for laughing. In the sound of your voice, I have anticipated the joy of heaven and feel at home. With all my love, your child. We have the choice as mothers, as fathers, as others, aunts and uncles even. We have the choice of whether we're going to help that child see what heaven would be like, or whether we're going to draw them away from God and make it so that they think, if heaven's going to be like that, I don't want to have any part of it. Perhaps you haven't given the proper honor to your own mother, or maybe just to the position of motherhood in general that you should have. Of course, it's possible as a mother. Perhaps you haven't laughed as much as you needed to. Maybe you've been too harsh or too stern. You may need to correct that. There are always corrections that we need to make in our lives. If you're here and have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please come as we stand and as we sing.